Welcome to Keep Going, a new podcast brought to you by the TMP Life. I am your host, Eric. Why don't you walk with me as I try my best to help you get to the next level in your life? So without further ado, here is Keep Going. Let's start the show. All right, y'all. This is Keep Going. Welcome to another episode of Keep Going. Of course, I am Eric with the TMP Life. Thank you so much for listening in. And we also have a very, very special guest by the name of
Angie.
And for those who don't know, which you probably heard a few of my podcasts, and also you've heard her podcast, the Sincerely Angie podcast. I've been featured on hers several times and she's been featured on mine. So it's now my turn to return the favor and just have a conversation. About,
it's like we do this every 6 months or so.
I know. You know what? As I'm thinking about it, it has been about 6 months because I think I came here in September of last year. Was it September or so?
Maybe. And then it probably was February before that.
Right.
September of probably the last year. It's like every 6 months.
Right.
This is just an ongoing thing.
We got to keep updated with each other. We got to make sure that we're on task with the things that we have going on, which, by the way, if you guys don't know my friend Angie, she has a lot going on and she's absolutely amazing. She is a blogger. She is a podcaster, a fellow podcaster.
Yes.
She's a writer and she is doing great things right now, which we're not going to get into. But eventually we will. We will eventually.
Yes.
And in another 6 months, I'll be more than happy to have a conversation about
story.
It. Yeah. I'll be more than happy to talk about it then.
Right.
But yeah, welcome, please. Thank you so much, Angie, for taking the time to be on my podcast and just to have conversations with me. And the reason why I'm having this conversation with Angie is because I just recently listened to one of her episodes called Dear Childhood. And that episode, I won't say it had me shook, but it had me thinking about a lot of stuff because you were very, very vulnerable. And I've been knowing you for almost, hell, it's been almost 10 years now.
Yeah,
2013 maybe? Or was it 2012? I don't know.
It's somewhere around there. Okay. Time flies.
Right, it does.
But it's been a long time, though. It really has.
Right.
I'm sure if I go through my phone and look at the very first picture by Yanni's house, then I'd be amazed at how long ago it was.
Yeah, that was, ooh, you ain't lying. Wait, how many?
It had to have been 2012.
Right. I think, you know what? I think it was 2012 because I remember specifically meeting Paris again or seeing Paris again because I had helped her once at my old store at my previous job. And that's how I ended up getting to know her.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, girl, let me tell you the story about that.
So when we were by Yanni's house, that was y'all reconnected then from a previous time.
Yeah. See, what happened was,
I thought that y'all would click tight since way before.
Wow. Like, well, it's a funny story about that. It's actually a really cool story because it just shows how God works. And so I was working at Sprint at the time and we were, she came into the store because she was having an issue with her phone. And we just got to talking or whatever, and she was telling me she's from New Orleans, and you know she's a blogger, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, let me get your contact information because I wanted to get into blogging.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, you know what? I'm gonna definitely keep in touch with you because she left a lasting impression on me, like, because she was very nice and she was very cool, just down to earth, and you can just definitely tell at the time she was motivated about her money. She was motivated.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I got a really good feeling we're going to be pretty good friends. And she said, you know what? I think so too. Ha ha. You know, and we just kind of laughed it off. And this was back in 2011.
Okay.
No, this was back in, 2011. And so we communicated back and forth for like about, you know, for about a couple months or whatever, because I had been trying to connect with her so we can try to collaborate, so I can try to pick her brain.
Yeah.
And I ended up losing her number because I had to get another cell phone.
Mm.
And so what happened was, when I ended up getting my new job, which I was working for Microsoft at the time, so New Orleans was my territory, which is where she was from, and I was in Oakwood Mall at one of my stores, and I was thinking to myself, like, man, like, I really wish I could kind of get back involved in writing and blogging and stuff like that, and I just really wish I could see Paris or whatever. Like, I really, I was, I was saying, man, I really wish I can kind of reconnect with her because she was very inspiring.
Yeah.
3 minutes later.
3 minutes.
She walked by.
What?
I swear to you. She walked by. She was walking out. It was her and her mom. And they were walking out the mall. And I was just saying, I was saying that to myself, and I had turned my back or whatever, and I went to help one of the customers or whatever, and I turned back around, and she was walking by.
Wow.
And I was like, I'll be damned, you know? And so what happened was, and I tried to run out because I was still with that customer or whatever, so I tried to run out and stop her, but by the time I got outside, she was gone already.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? If it's meant, I'm going to see her again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to eventually see her again. And wouldn't you believe, when I ended up getting a new phone, my new Microsoft phone, I put in my email address or whatever for my contacts, and her name popped up.
Wow.
Now, prior to that,
it wouldn't, yeah.
It didn't pop up, but her name popped up all of a sudden. And so I called her. I called her. I'm like, no, I sent her a message, and I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember me. It's been about a year or something or whatever. But I'm Eric. She said, what's happening? And we clicked ever since. And so when... Going back to when I met you,
mm-hmm.
That was the second time I had saw Paris, like, you know, like her and I had conversed.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, you know, I got a friend, because I was telling her that I'm looking into doing filmmaking and stuff. And she was like, yeah, I got a friend who's a singer. And I said, yeah, you know what? I would love to interview her or whatever. And then that's when I met Yanni. And then that's when I met you.
Yeah.
And that was, as I'm thinking about it, it was in 2012.
Yeah.
It was like at the end of 2012.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
I know for sure it was in a July or whatever year it was. It was July.
It was July. Right. Yeah. Okay. You know what? So in that case, it was 2013 because I didn't start that job until 2012, the end of 2012. So it was 2013. So we've been knowing each other for well over 7 years
now.
Yeah. Easy, but it seems like it's so longer.
It
God
does.
Damn. I actually said something earlier about God's timing, and I wanted to talk to you about that. Mm-hmm. Also, because a lot of the things that you're working on right now, you felt that it was God's timing. Like,
yeah.
You know, God is placing you in positions and in situations that allow you to finally get the things done that you want to get done.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to kind of talk about what your thoughts are on timing and some of the things. Again, we're not going to go into detail as to what you have going on, but
right.
One of the reasons why you're deciding to do what it is that you're doing now, the thing that you're venturing into.
Yeah.
And why do you think timing has something to do with it?
First off, I think that everything happens for a reason. I always say that. And a lot of people, they agree with it, and some people, you know, they don't.
Right.
But I think that everything happens right when it's supposed to. And so because I think that everything is already kind of waiting on us, we're just waiting to get there, I think that I had to get to a certain point in order to be able to get to where I'm at now. So I said that to say, so a couple of years ago, I started seeing where clouds were lining up in the sky. And I'm like, oh, what does that mean? It means that God is lining up something for me. And so then I started seeing the constant numbers on the clock and numbers on pages and these double, triple, quadruple numbers. I kept seeing them. And I'm like, okay, so God is trying to tell me something. What is going
on?
What
is it? Right.
You know, so I'm like, okay, so obviously something with timing is happening, something that I need to pay attention to. So I think that because I was self-aware enough to recognize those signs and see that God is actually trying to tell me something, it kind of woke me up to some things and made me pay attention. So then I started seeing butterflies fly really close to me. And so I Googled butterflies. I Googled the numbers. I didn't Google what clouds meant,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that people used to always find signs in clouds. Have you ever talked to anybody who...
No,
you see a picture of clouds and then they'll say, oh, do you see the face of God here? Or do you see that angel there? And it's like...
Wow. No, I've never seen that before. I've never heard of that before. I know about the numbers, of course,
yeah.
But I've never heard about
that. A lot of people, I remember posting a picture of the sky on Facebook or either on Twitter or Instagram long time ago. And a girl was like, do you see that angel right over your left shoulder and whatever? And I'm like, no, I don't see it. And she was like, girl, it's clear as day. And I'm staring at the picture. And she was like, my grandmother used to always look at the clouds and see this and this and that. And I didn't know it was a thing, but I know that some people see signs in clouds.
Right.
So the signs in the clouds, the signs from the numbers, because when you Google double, triple, and quadruple numbers, you get different meanings for the ones, the twos, the threes, the fours, you know, the 11, 11, 22, right. 22, 33, all of those things you see different meanings. Now, granted, a lot of these many meanings are, I guess, opinion-based. They're not necessarily 100% fact.
Right.
Because some of them are so so vague, it's kind of like anybody could take this and apply it to their life. It's not just specifically for you.
It's subjective, right.
Very subjective.
Yeah.
So, and then with the butterflies, when a butterfly flies near you or close to you or whatever the case may be, that is spiritual awakening. So I'm like, okay, obviously something is going on. So then I guess the final straw was one day I was at work and a guy called the phone. I answered the phone and we were talking about the job, but then he asked me, he said that I sounded like a praying woman. And I said, well, yes, I am. And he said, okay. He said, have you ever heard of the house that prayer built? I think is what it was called. It's a sermon on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I haven't heard of that. He was like, go home and watch it for me. And he said, and then after you watch it, he said, listen to the Tabernacle team or choir or something. And their song is called Prayer. And I'm like, okay. So I go home and I be obedient. But before I got off the phone with him, he said, can you do me a favor? And I said, sure. And he was like, 30 plus years ago, a person asked me to make a promise to say, to read my Bible for 5 minutes a day, every day for the rest of my life. And I haven't missed a day yet. He said, open up your Bible and read it. God has something he wants to tell you.
Mm.
And so I do this for a couple of days. I open my Bible and I'm reading it, just random scriptures, random pages, nothing, you know, just opening, waiting.
Open it up and just whatever you see.
Being obedient, you know, because I did tell him I promised I would do it. You know, so I'm like, let me see what God has to tell me. Obviously, it's something.
Right.
So then I was laying on the sofa and I was debating reading the Bible or going get something to eat. And then clear as day, I heard God tell me a scripture to read. A very specific scripture, and I read it and I was blown away. So if you pay attention to that, everything lined up.
Mm-hmm.
If the man at my job would have never told me to open my Bible and read it, and had I not been obedient in reading it, and had I not seen all of these signs, I would have probably never even, I could have dismissed everything the man told me on the phone.
Right.
But I opened it, I read the Bible, and I got a word from God. And that was my first time ever hearing his voice.
I remember first you said ever. That. You said yeah. that on the podcast. Yes. Once, on one of your
so
episodes.
Everything lined up. Everything was supposed to. So I think that things have been happening for me because I'm open to receiving them now. Before, prior to, I may not have received it.
Right.
So I think that's how everything started to line up for me, is because I paid attention to the signs. I opened up myself to receive, you know, whatever was meant for me. And then I am obedient to it. You know, I go with it.
Do you still read it?
Every
day?
Every night. I do it every night now. Mm-hmm. Because, and this is the funniest thing, because you and I have talked about social media a lot, mm-hmm. how it is so consuming, and you and I fast often from right. social media. At the beginning of the year, I usually fast, but sometimes you just got to take a break. But before I go to sleep, I'm on Instagram and I'm scrolling, and then I'll put my phone down and go to sleep, and I'm like, I don't need to end my night off
on that
social
type
media.
Of,
no.
Right, quarters of Ohio or whatever.
And so I decided that before I go to sleep, I read my Bible first. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have the negativity of the world or the pressures of the world on my mind before I go to sleep. I have God.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we all need to focus more on, just creating some type of atmospheric peace, mm-hmm. you know, whenever we go to bed. Because a lot of times, like you said, like a lot of people will scroll on social media or whatever, or they'll still watch TV or whatever. And a lot of times, some time ago, I used to always feel I need the TV on in order for me to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as of recent, probably about, I don't know, maybe it's probably been about 6 months now, every night now. Well, I make it a point to do it every night. I try, and you know, sometimes I just pass out or whatever. But a lot of the times, I'll say a prayer right before I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because like you, I want to be able to end my night off with something that I'm grateful for. Yeah. You know, a prayer that I'm grateful for. I try writing down the stuff, like writing before I go to sleep or whatever, but I'll end up being, it'll end up being counterproductive for me because I'll end up staying up and whatever. Yeah. But I'll say a prayer until I fall asleep.
That's good.
I'll just continue to say, you know, I'll pray, you know, my special prayer until I fall asleep or whatever. So, and it does give me peace because I used to always have an issue with going to sleep at night or not necessarily going to sleep, but waking up in the middle of the night. But now that I begin to do that more, it's
I sleep
throughout the night now. That's like, good. You know, so yeah. And you mentioned the house that prayer built. I'm definitely going to read or watch that.
On it's YouTube. A very old sermon, very, very old sermon. And I can't say immediately that I was moved by it, but I still wanted to be obedient. The man asked me, and I'm like, you never know where you're going to find a word. You never know where something's going to come to you. And you know how you will read something maybe as a child or as a teenager, and you read it as an adult, and it has a completely different meaning, or you understand it better. I may not have understood what that man was saying at that particular time on the sermon, but if I go back and watch it today because I'm more open, which I probably will now that I'm talking about it, I may find something in there that I did not catch at the time.
Right. And what's funny about that is, and I was about to actually mention that earlier, everything has a cycle. You know, it's a 7-year cycle in everything. So you said earlier, it may not have resonated with you well then.
Yeah.
You know, but now eventually, if you go back and look at it now, it'll hit different, you know, because it'll have a totally different meaning.
Absolutely.
And it'll just feel a lot better. And I'm glad you said it because I'm a lot of the things now we're focused on is it's all a part of a cycle, right? Yeah. So everything that you do right now is a part of a cycle. Again, you're now reading your prayer, you saying your prayers every night, or you reading the Bible, every night or whatever. It's a part of a cycle, and it's something that God is telling you, and you got to just continue to stay faithful in it. And
absolutely.
And it's a part of being a better you, you know. Yeah. And we talked about that earlier. This particular series of podcasts that we're doing is all about being a better you. So I love that. I love talking to people who have God in their heart, you know, because you can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can tell when people don't, and you can tell when people are just like or whatever. But I did want to kind of touch on something else real quick. When it comes to being a better you, you know, what do you think that means? Like for you personally, for Angie Mitchell, what do you think being a better you means? And do you believe currently you're on the path to become a better you?
Absolutely. I am definitely on a path to becoming a better me. And what it means for me is being a better person than I was yesterday. And we are supposed to be ever growing and ever changing people and ever evolving. And I have been speaking more about this more so recently. I've shared it a few times, but there was a time in Walmart that haunts me to this day where someone, I don't want to be that person that ignores where I should have done something better. I want it to be a natural occurrence.
Let's tell that story real quick, if you don't, for the audience.
Yeah. Okay, so years ago, I was in Walmart and I was in line and there was a young couple in front of me. And they had a few items, and they were kind of scrambling to get the total together. They didn't have it all. So they were trying to decide which items they were going to put back. And I had the extra money on me. I had the cash. I could have just, you know, told them, keep their money and then add it to my bill. I think it may have been like $20-something or something, which was their total. But they were still scrambling to pay it. And so I'm sitting there in line, and I'm looking like, should I do it? Should I do it? Should I just offer? Should I pay for it? Should I tell them this? And I'm like, they're probably going to say no. They're probably going to get offended. They're probably going to deny it. I'm just creating all of these scenarios in my head that this couple could have potentially said. Right. And I just didn't do anything about it.
Right.
They put some food down. They put a few items down. And then they paid for what they could. And then they left out. And then I go in line, I pay for my stuff, and then I leave out, and the whole time I'm just like so convicted. I'm like, I should have done something. I should have said something. And I vowed at that moment, you know, to never allow that to happen again, where someone has to choose to put food back because they can't afford it. And I could have done something about it. So, and my voice is getting shaky because I'm thinking about it. And it's like, it really just haunts me. So I always think about trying to be better than I was yesterday to make sure that being a blessing and being grateful is something that is second nature for me. Mm-hmm. And so on top of me I do pray, but on top of me reading the Bible nightly, when I wake up in the morning, I do my 3-2-1, which is I write down 3 things that I'm grateful for, 2 things that I have goals for that particular day, and then 1 person that I'm praying for. And I actually write it in a specific journal that is strictly for my 3-2-1. And that helps me to wake up with gratefulness in my heart and on my mind. It allows me to set goals for the day.
Have a
purpose for the day. And then also to pray for someone else. Now, there have been times in my doing this that I pray for myself because I may have needed it. But for the most part, I try and think of somebody random or whoever is the first person that comes to my mind. And I write their name down and I actually say a prayer. So that kind of helps me to be a better person than I was yesterday, because it is so easy to fall into what you have going on in life and everything that you want to do. And it stops you and say, hey, be grateful of what you have now.
Right.
Be grateful for what you have now. Set goals and set purpose for the day, and then pray for somebody else. What would you, and that's the highest form of love, that you can pray for somebody and they don't even know that you're praying for them.
Right.
That's a blessing. I would love to know how many people pray for me on a regular basis.
Right. Just to be able to say a prayer for someone and they don't even know that you're praying for them, and you don't even mention it to them.
Don't even say it.
Yeah, because it's not for them to. It's not for them to know. It's for you to do. It's kind of like an act of kindness, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're doing something. You're not doing it simply for the likes, or you're not doing it for the kudos or whatever. You're doing it simply out of the kindness of your heart. Mm-hmm. And I believe you get the. You're absolutely right. If you begin to do that more often, then you are definitely on a path to becoming a better you, because a lot of that selfless act has to do with who you are as a person. And if you continue to focus on that, if you continue to focus on being more of a selfless person, and I mentioned this once before, it's never about, like, the true form of success isn't about how much money you have, but it's about how much you can give, how much service you can give.
Yeah.
And if you can help out anybody in any capacity, then that is the ultimate form of obedience.
Yeah.
And it's the ultimate form of happiness, you know? So, like you said, you know, you missed out on that opportunity and it kind of haunted you ever since. And you wanted, ever since then, you've been trying your best to pay it back, you know, to pay it back in some form. And that may have been the kick in the ass that you needed, you know,
absolutely.
To be able to say, hey, because I know some people who just won't give money at all.
I used to be that tight though. I used to be tight. A friend of mine needed money for a bill, and my mom, it was embedded in us, don't co-sign for anybody and don't lend friends money. Mm-hmm. And so what I didn't do, the friend needed money for a bill and I did not. Because my mom always said that it would ruin a friendship. Mm. And that haunts me as well, because it's like I let what she told me interfere, because I had it at the time and I wouldn't have missed it if she never paid me back.
Right.
You know, and just allowing the thoughts of somebody else to invade who I am, you know, I didn't do anything about that. But I used to be tight. And then recently, actually like 2 years ago, I was so focused on so many money goals that I was trying to reach and achieve. And I had to look at myself like, you're being so tight with your money, you're not even allowing it to breathe. The more you open up and you give that money away, the more you open up and give it away, the more will come back to you.
The more will receive you, right. You'll receive it tenfold.
And it's like, if you're holding it so tight it can't breathe, how is it growing? Mm-hmm. It's not growing. You know, you're suffocating it. It's not doing anything. It's getting stale in your hands. Mm. It's not even progressing because, you know, you're holding on so tight to it. So that was a lesson I had to learn. I had to learn to not just, you know, hold on so tight. And I was listening to watching a video today on YouTube, and the lady was talking about at the church that they visit, they went to that this past Sunday. Pastor asked them, when you leave a room or when you leave anybody's presence, do they feel happy after you left, or do they feel sad? Like, what are you bringing to their life? Are you so focused on success and not sustainability? Like, what are you putting out into the world. And so that made me think, and I had to text my friend and I asked, I said, hey, whenever you're in my presence, or whenever I leave a room, or whenever I've been in your presence, do you feel happy, sad, angry after I leave? What kind of impression am I leaving? So that also helps to put things into perspective when you can reach out to somebody and say, hey, what am I doing that is, you know, probably, I think it's really just self-awareness, you know, just really trying to learn who you are and what you're doing and what you're putting out in this world. Because when someone leaves you, if they feel angry every time or they don't feel inspired, right, like, what are you doing then?
What are you contributing really doing? Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that. I want to touch on what you said earlier about how your mom had told you, don't ever do that, you know, mm-hmm. And it kind of ties into what you were talking about just now. Like, what type of contribution are you giving to the people? What type of contribution are you allowing yourself to have, or allowing others to see that you are? A lot of it has to do with influence, right?
Yeah.
You were influenced at an early age to not do this, you know, and it took you having to kind of retrain your brain in order for you to be able to say, you know what, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Let me not. Well, whether it's not right or right or whatever, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But for you, your goal was to be able to say, or your goal, your objective is to be able to try to help as many people as you can. And you're absolutely right. So asking those type of questions mm-hmm. will definitely be a true test of who you are as a person. Because, and then not only once you ask those questions, if they would have came back and be like, well, you know what, you know, you are kind of like, you know, chinky or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. you're not really you know, I do kind of have a bad taste in my mouth whenever I talk to you, or afterwards I always feel like there's some type of negative connotation about it, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's good that you're instilling some level of positive influence in people's minds or in people's heart. And not only that, but you're open to feedback on it, you know.
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're open to feedback.
You have to be. And like, if the things that we knew now, we knew then, it would be so much better. So I think that what my mom could have said was, if you don't have it, don't lend it out. And if you're not expecting it back, don't lend it out. Instead of her just saying, never co-sign for anyone and never lend your friends money.
Right.
Give me a little bit more understanding of why I'm not supposed to do this. Right. And that can help me further myself as well. So on top of me being open to receiving criticism, or even to receiving feedback from me asking such a vulnerable question, because if I'm an angry person, if I'm an angry person and I ask somebody, hey, what do you think, or what am I involved, what am I putting into your life, and then you give me feedback and I get angry with you, I'm not even ready really to change.
To change it, right.
You know, so it's like, you really have to be in a space where you're open enough to say, I can take what they're saying, and then I can make a change about it. And granted, we are in our 30s and older, or whatever age you may be, but there is still time to make change.
Of course.
I've been this way for X amount of years, but I can still change, because growth is necessary. Mm-hmm. And it does not make sense to be an adult or be this person, but you can't grow because you feel that, you know, this is who I am and that's how I've always been. That's the wrong mindset, because, of course, who you were at 17 should not be who you still are at 30. That's not a good thing.
If you are the same person that you were at 17 and you're 30 now, then you haven't grown at all.
You haven't grown.
You've wasted, you know, 13 years.
That's not a good thing.
Right, not
it's
at
like,
all.
This is who I am and this is who I'm. That's a toxic trait. And I know that we've been throwing, not us, but the world has been throwing toxicity out a lot lately, but it's really that awareness of, hey, you know, I do have toxic traits, and let me change that, because what I thought was normal and okay is actually not okay.
Right. Do you think people tend to have an awakening, or like a come to Jesus moment, in order for them to want to change? Or do you believe that people can actually change on their own without having some type of traumatic experience?
I think it's a yes. I think, mm-hmm. yes, you can wake up and say, you know what, I want different, and I'm a change, or something traumatic can happen, and then you say, yes,
I need change.
Something needs to change.
Right.
Yeah, so it can be forced, and it just could be like an aha moment, like, you know what, I want different, and something has to shake in order for different to come.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's possible. And I think that that has happened with me over the years. And it's still going to continue to happen because I know that I have some things about myself that I still need to work on. There are a lot of things, like I spoke about in Dear Childhood, you know, things that you were taught and things that you just, you grew up thinking. And it's like, that is not right at all. So I know that something that I may not even be thinking about today, tomorrow may happen. And I'm like, I didn't even, how did I even think that that was okay?
Right. How did you think that was even cool?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you definitely talked about a lot of stuff in your Dear Childhood episode. And for all my listeners, for all the TMPers, that's what I call them.
TMPers.
If you guys, if you ever get a chance, go to the most recent Sincerely Angie podcast episode called Dear Childhood. She's very vulnerable. She's very open about this. And I've been knowing you for 7 years, seven plus years. Mm-hmm. You've never been that way. So my question to you in that regard is, what made you decide at that moment to open yourself up to the masses? Because again, I've been knowing you for 7 years and you've always been somewhat of a private person. Very. For me, you know.
Yes.
I mean, we've shared some things, some intimate moments or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not physically, know, but we've shared some intimate things about one another or whatever, but you've never been so intimate as you have been with the Dear Childhood episode. So what made you decide now is the time to do that?
Well, I think, again, it's like this ripple effect that has happened, because on Instagram, I have been more open with, like, my finances, just talking and sharing, you know, money goals and how I achieved it and showing actual numbers and showing receipts and documents and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think that that kind of helped this process. But I also, because of mental health awareness being a big thing, and we all need therapy, we all need somebody to talk to.
Yes, we do.
I think that when I took this quiz, which is the How We Love quiz, and I saw the results, I'm like, I got to share this. I got to tell this story, because it's a lot of things that we've endured as children, or, you know, from our parents. Not everybody. Some people may have had ideal parents or stellar parents is what I was trying to say. A lot of people may have had parents that they think, you know, did a perfect job. I can say without a shadow of a doubt that my mom, she lacked in a lot of areas. And I've always known it. I just never really, you know, put it out there, because I always put it under the umbrella of, she did what she could. She did the best she could. That's fine. She did the best she could. But I have to acknowledge how it affected me and why I am the way I am. So when I saw the results from that quiz, I felt that it was necessary to share. I felt like it was a story that I have to share, I have to tell. And hopefully somebody else can open up and acknowledge, you know, something that did not go right in their childhood. And maybe that's why they are the way they are now.
Right. Yeah. Because as you know, your childhood defines your adulthood. Yeah. So what you do then, or whatever influence you were under then, will dictate exactly what you are willing to tolerate now.
Yes.
So you have to be able to, like you took the test, recognize the flaws, or recognize the faults, or even recognize the great things that happened to you back then, and you kind of jumble them up and you create this new person, or you create this better version of yourself.
Yeah.
So in saying that, this is the last thing, because, you know, we could talk forever.
Forever.
We could talk forever.
Forever.
somebody told me this a while ago, right? And it's stuck with me, and it's a question that I ask a lot of my friends. Mm-hmm. I've never asked you this because I wanted to wait for this time. But I'll give you some context behind the question. One of my friends was telling me that she was out. She was in Africa. Mm-hmm. She went to Africa, and she met up with a group of her peers and things like that or whatever. And one of the guys, his fiance, would always ask him every day, like towards the end of the day, what was the most amazing thing that happened to you today? And initially, he looked at it as like, why the hell are you asking me that? You know, like, I mean, nothing amazing. I went to work and I came home. But it made him begin to think about the things that he did. And also, it made him begin to become more intentional
with his day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the things that he need to get done in his life to make an impact.
Yeah.
So let me ask you today. What's today? February the 19th?
Yes,
or whatever?
It is.
What is the most amazing thing that happened to you today?
The very first thing that comes to mind is that I woke up. That created opportunity.
Obviously.
That created opportunity for me to do whatever else. But that's the most amazing thing that's happened to me today.
Okay, good. And there's no right or wrong answer with that. Right. Of course, there's no right or wrong response. But you're absolutely right, because some people don't. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't wake up today. Yeah. Or some people are on their dying bed now, you know, which we'll definitely pray for them. But every day you have to ask yourself that. And by you having a journal, or you wake up in the morning and you set your intentions very, very early in the morning, mm-hmm. you create that type of atmosphere where you ask yourself, what is the most amazing thing that I've done today? And it eventually makes you want to do
absolutely
more.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you want to do better in terms of, like, whether it be helping somebody out, mm-hmm. Just a random act of kindness, whether it be, you know, you just calling someone and wishing them a good day.
Yeah.
To say, hey, I just want you to have a good day today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
We're not going to cut it short just yet. I'm going to ask you.
Oh, okay.
What's the most amazing thing that happened to you today?
The most amazing thing that happened to me today was my dad having surgery, and the surgery ended up being a success.
That is a blessing.
Right. It's an extreme blessing, because, you know, it's something that my dad, and I'm being pretty transparent here. My stepdad had been fighting some kidney issues for well over almost 4 years now. And you know, he's been going to dialysis and things like that, and we just got word earlier this year, or no, late last year, going into after Christmas, going into New Year's, mm-hmm. That he's going to receive a kidney. And so you know, it was a great feeling, but then we ended up getting hit with some other news saying that one of his kidneys, the functioning kidney, had a cyst on it.
Oh.
So the failing kidney was at like 10% capacity, right? It was at, it was only functioning at 10%, but the functioning kidney had a cyst on it. So they had to make the hard decision of whether to get rid of the old one, or get rid of the functioning one, just so they can make sure that whenever he received a new one, it'll be better.
Yeah.
Or do we keep the functioning one in there with the with the cyst on it, with the possibility it could become cancerous? So we made the decision. So they made the decision to go ahead and remove the functioning kidney because they didn't want to have any chances. Now he is going to be on dialysis, you know, pretty much for a long time, for a good month, mm-hmm. until the surgery. He has surgery in April. So today, the surgery to remove the kidney with the cyst, it was successful. So he's recovering now. He's doing better. You know, it's a process. But again, that is the absolute most amazing thing that has happened to me today.
Mm-hmm.
Second most amazing thing, of course, is doing an interview with Angie Mitchell on the Sincerely Angie podcast.
And thank you.
Keep going.
So much. It has been a blessing. It is always a pleasure to sit down and talk with you, and just to, you know, just have a meeting of the minds, and just to spread whatever we have to give to the world, to give that and put that out there with our creative minds and our abilities. So.
Yes, I agree. Our goal with this, my goal is pretty much in line with yours, mm-hmm. in terms of putting out information and giving out information to help others become better versions of themselves, and become the best version of themselves, I should say. And, you know, in our goal field, I can only speak for myself, but I don't feel right unless I've contributed something to someone's life today.
Oh, that's you know all what day. I'm saying?
That's that me all day.
All
you know me.
Day.
You know me 100%.
I mean, you are like the helping hand. Like if helping hand had a face, that would be him.
And that's me. I try my best.
You extend an olive branch. You extend a leg, an arm, an eye, a nose. Anything you can give or hand out or help with to somebody, you do it. And I appreciate that.
And
I
no
really
problem.
Do.
You know what? One thing I did have to turn... I had to change my mindset on something, because a lot of the times whenever I would spread this knowledge out or give this information out to people, I would do it not necessarily with the intent on receiving something back in return, mm-hmm. but with the intent of knowing God is going to take care of me. Like, I'm going to do this because I know God is going to take care of me. But I had to kind of change that.
Mm-hmm.
had to recalibrate that because, you know, just because you're doing something, because at that point it felt like I was doing something with the expectation of receiving something back. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work like that. So, you
I
know,
I never got that vibe from you though. So
yeah.
I changed that.
Yeah. Because prior to me, you know, it was recently, probably about a year or so ago that I made that change, because I began to try to feel like, man, like, okay, so why is everybody else doing so damn good, but why am I still stuck in this position?
Yeah.
And it's like, again, I had a conversation with God about it.
You remember?
And I just had to stop for a minute and say, you know what? No, this is not who you are. You do things out of the kindness of your heart, not out of the expectation you're going to receive something. Yeah. And ever since I've done that, I've gotten blessings on blessings on blessings. So I want to thank you definitely, Angie, for just being a part of this, this Better You series of Keep Going. And my hope, my desire, my expectation is for this to continue on and follow with you in another. I can't do six months.
Well,
that's
how long it's going to end up being. I know what it's going to be like. But before I go, I wanted to say I was listening to a sermon. I'm always listening to a sermon, watching a sermon or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to a way for you to find your purpose, I heard, is to first serve. So by serving, you may actually find your purpose. And I think that's what happened with me. I can't say that I know my full purpose, but I know it's to help people.
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming into fruition.
I can feel it. I feel that it's leading me in that direction. But what happened was about 3 years ago, I started to actually serve in the media ministry at my church.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
So I think that actually started the whole ripple effect that happened in my life with just me going to, you know, serving in the media ministry at church, serving at church. You know, they don't pay you for that. So you go there and you do that. And then that created a whole nother lane for me, I think.
And that lane is the lane that you're on now.
Yes.
And it's been rolling.
It has.
You've been doing significantly well.
I mean, it is absolutely mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Right. And I mean, this Better You series, I think, is going to be a hit because it's necessary. And we're all most of us are striving to be better people.
Right.
And for those who aren't, hopefully this series can help them. You know, it can push them and tap that little button or tap them on their shoulder and say, hey, you know, it's your turn.
Right.
It's your turn.
That's the goal. That is 100% the goal. Thank you so much, Angie. Where can everyone find you, of course?
You can find me on Instagram under Sincerely Angie M. You can find me at SincerelyAngieM.com. And all my links are, you can find everything at SincerelyAngieM.com. You'll find my my Instagram, my Twitter, and my YouTube on SincerelyAngieM.com.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to definitely post that in the show notes as well. And also, I want to post that link, the test, the love test.
The How We Love quiz.
Mm-hmm. I want to post that. So definitely, do you have the information for that also so we can get to the listeners?
I believe it was just the website. Now, one thing I do want to stress is that it is not an assessment of who you are. It's not a label. Like, it does not label you as these things. It just basically gives you an idea of what may have happened in your childhood that has altered how you react to other people or how you love.
Right.
So you don't have to feel like, oh, these people don't know me and, you know.
Right. And we want to be able to do that. I'm actually going to take the test tonight just to kind of get an idea on where I stand and how I'm, I guess, not necessarily judged, but how I see myself or how I view myself. Because we all want to change. There's something that we want to change in our lives. Mm-hmm. Everyone has that. I don't care what you say. I think everyone has at least one thing they want to change in their life from an emotional standpoint.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, it is. It's a love style quiz, and it's called howwelove.com. And they'll ask you if you're single, in a relationship, or married, and then you go from there. And they ask 15 questions. It's really quick, really easy. It's nothing that you have to really ponder on or think about. And then based on your answers, you'll get a certain percentage of where you rank as far as the categories that they provide.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
And it's 5 different categories. And I really think that if you don't agree with it, that's fine. But I think that you will find something in there that will kind of trigger and say, you know what?
That may pique your interest.
This is what happened to me. Wow. And this is why this particular thing. So,
okay, yeah. Good. It's howwelove.com, guys. Yes. So until the next time, I am Eric, of course, with the Mystery Project and with TMP Life, which I need to start saying either or. Because that's a lot to say with the Mystery Project and with TMP Life. So I think I'm going to start saying TMP Life only.
Because, I mean, it all brings you back to the same place, though, right?
It's all one thing. So, you know, definitely go to TMPLife.com and check out what we have going on. And, of course, I'm Eric with the Mystery... I am Eric with TMP Life. And thank you so much for listening in. And I'll see you guys soon.
Bye, guys.